Welcome, welcome back to the Hard Skills Show, where we take a deep dive into the most challenging soft skills required to navigate leadership uncertainty, complexities, and change today and into the future. I'm your host, Dr. Mira Bronku, a psychologist, leadership consultant, and founder of TowerScope. Today, we are celebrating 100 episodes of the Hard Skills. This is our 100th episode. Woo-hoo! It is no easy feat to show up consistently like this and plan things out each week. And I think it's a great topic for this season's focus, actually, on endurance and leadership, right? Endurance in leadership is all about consistency, getting to do the things that are most important, but on a consistent basis. And because I've been doing this show for 2 years, that's, and every single week, that's 100 episodes. So the theme for today is I'm going to keep it 100 for you. I'm going to keep it 100 for you. And I am sharing three reasons I started podcasting and doing this radio show, four things about finding the time and the money, three challenges with finding the right guests, four unexpected benefits that I have learned, three mistakes, blunders, and challenges, four surprising successes, and one thing that's been the hardest part about all of this. So, yeah. Oh, also, don't ask me why the 3-4 pattern. It just turned out that way. I have no idea how that turned out, but that is total of 22 insights and lessons learned over the course of 100 episodes that I've done. So, that's very exciting. And before I get started into all of these, we're also celebrating another big milestone. I am, at least, that I might have mentioned a few episodes ago. On July 1st, I transitioned from having two jobs over the last 7 years to having just one job. You see, many of you may or may not have known that I was building my company on the side over the last 7 years. And I had started working for the Department of Veterans Affairs 17 years ago. 17 years ago, I thought I would only stick out around for a year. And I found myself in a life-changing career I never expected for another 16 years. Totally was not expected. Now, what's interesting is by the time I reached like year 15, I was like, okay, well, I'm just going to go for 20. I'm going to make it. I'm going to make it. Well, I didn't make it because the company started growing much faster than I expected, while also I was starting to no longer learn. I was reaching yet another learning plateau in my role within the Department of Veterans Affairs, and I didn't see any other opportunity that I really wanted that would challenge me in the right ways. So as my learning plateau started, which is not a good place for me to be, I do not function well when I am not learning anymore. The moment I know that I'm not learning anymore, I start getting antsy and irritable and bored, and it starts seeping out and it probably annoys other people. So I already knew that, it wasn't going to last until year 20, and I really had to make some hard decisions. And of course, those of you who know, it's July, it's 2025. A lot of things are going on within the federal government, and the Department of Veterans Affairs has been greatly affected. And of course, that didn't help anything either. So, anyway, it was good news though, right? So, along the way, I did start imagining life after the VA. And I thought that life would start at like an early VA retirement, year 20. I never made it to an official retirement age or date, right? The stars were aligning well before that. And TowerScope, my company, just started building and growing, right? Faster than I expected. So I did have to make some difficult decisions specific to, how it might affect and the importance I place on healthcare and financial stability for our kids and our family. Our kids have been starting to enter and plan for college. I was starting to think about like, this is this just terrible timing, versus my own sort of learning plateau? And could I hold back the desire for my own flexibility, creativity, growth? And ultimately, it just could not sustain. And I made the decision to leap. And of course, that came with support, right? My husband also works full time for pay, and that makes it easier. And he works within an organization where he has healthcare, and we could lean on that. And that was a big deal, right? So, am I scared? Yes, of course. I'm obsessed with financial stability. Many of you had heard that on this show before. And healthcare is part of that stability. And so doing this is scary, but I have proven to myself that I could bring in consistent income through the company multiple years in a row, which was part of my decision-making process and a milestone I was aiming for. And on top of that, we're lucky to have my spouse being able to contribute to the healthcare stability. So, all of that indicated that it was okay. And of course, he's always my spouse has always been very, very supportive. And that made it easier too. So, I've talked about my sort of career decision making and leaps and all of that in past episodes as well, but this was a big one. This is a big one. So, finally, before we get into the exciting, juicy behind the scenes look at the lessons learned, I just wanted to share yet another exciting new thing coming up. Yes, okay, it comes in thirds, three exciting things. So this is the third because, hey, why not? Let's do all the things all at once. I call it a gift to myself, okay? And that is that I'm adding another piece to my TowerScope Leadership Academy. Many of you know the TowerScope Leadership Academy is a longer commitment and investment. It's a year long. But I was thinking that there's all of these people that come to me that want to be part of this community, but aren't ready to commit that intensively to like a year-long group coaching cohort-like environment. But they do want to learn and they really want to connect with the community that I have built. And so I am adding a membership community part of this, which is at a lower tier, much more accessible. I don't have all the details yet, but I will. So if you are not yet on my newsletter, make sure you get on the newsletter to hear about it first before anybody else. And I will share more in the next month or so, in the coming weeks, really. Okay, so let's get to the main focus here today, folks. Ready? Okay. Let's start with the basics. Why I started the show. Here are three reasons I started. Three reasons, okay? One, I listen and enjoy many podcasts myself, right? You gotta do the things you personally appreciate and enjoy. The reason that I wanted to write a book is I enjoy reading books. The reason I wanted to start podcasts is because I enjoy listening to podcasts. I'm not gonna start something I don't enjoy for myself, right? So that's reason number one. Reason number two, when I started my company 7 years ago, part of my vision was to develop myself as a thought leader in the space of women in leadership using mechanisms that personally spoke to me. And I remember specifically presenting this to a group of people I convened as a temporary advisory board and sharing it with them, how I wanted to build my company through various strategies around thought leadership. So I wanted to build my Psychology Today blog series and my Thought Hive newsletter, which is on my website, and I also send it out. I wanted to add books. I wanted more media presence, like radio and online magazines. I wanted podcasts and videos. All of that stuff I told them 7 years ago, 7 years ago. And it just sat there for a long time. Okay. And then one day, 2 years ago, I met Sam Leibowitz, who is the owner of Talk Radio, and he described some kind of hybrid that was like a podcast and a radio broadcast and a video all in one. And I was like, interesting. And so it hit on multiple goals, right? Because I mentioned I was like interested in media. I was interested in maybe a radio show or maybe a podcast or maybe a video, right? It hit all of these all in one. So that's reason number two. I decided to try it. Now, reason number three, there are many ways to market. And I do most of them, right? Heavy social media engagement. I do that. Talks at conferences. I do that. Training workshops. Yep. Books. Yes. Blog posts. Yes. Right. The books and blog posts, though, are very solitary activities. It's me and my thoughts. And when I put it out there, people may or may not like it. They may or may not read it. They may not or may not discover it. Right. Now, the social media conference talks and workshops are all the way towards the other end of the spectrum, talking with many people all at once. Sometimes more talking at them if it's a keynote instead of with them, which I don't necessarily enjoy as much. And the discussion needs to stay at a high level. But frankly, the thing that fits best with my personality, an introvert at heart, right, is deep, meaningful one-on-one conversations with smart people. This lets me keep learning and exploring my ideas and learning from other people and getting to know more people and expanding my network and reaching a wider audience and increasing my visibility, which are all marketing techniques, right? But all through a really intimate mechanism. And people get a much better flavor of what it would be like to work with me. And I get to learn from other people and have deep conversations. I mean, that's a perfect fit, right? So those are three reasons, right? Three reasons why I started. Now, I have seen great outcomes from this, but it's not easy peasy work to do this, okay? So I'm going to share that in a bit. But now let me go into the next most common question I get about my, basically what I've learned about the podcasting process and how to set yourself up for success. And one of the most common questions with that people ask me is, how did you find the time and funding to do this, right? Actually, they first ask, how do you find the time? Because they're thinking I must be like producing an awful lot, which I am not. I didn't want to be producing all by myself because that's a lot of time I don't have. So then that means I do have to find the funding to support it. Okay. So I'm going to share with you four things I learned about time and money. And the first three are about time, because the money buys me time. So that goes last. Okay. So I'm going to give you the first one out of the four about how I found the time and money. And then we're going to get into an ad break. And then when we come back, I'll give you the other three. Okay. So the first one, time for delivery. You need to find time for delivery. We air once a week, live on Tuesdays, and then it gets translated into a podcast after. I needed to find a time I thought I could show up almost every single Tuesday at the same exact time because it's live. This alone is a challenge for someone who needs to also manage two jobs, at least up until recently, many clients, driving teens around everywhere for all of their activities, and traveling a lot. And it's not just my travel. It's travel scheduled between my spouse and I because my spouse travels too. So there's a lot of moving parts. So I really had to make a commitment to this schedule and not move it around. But, you know, frankly, I have made other commitments to myself when I, you know, decided they were important to me. Like I wake up every day around 6:30 a.m. to work out before work. I hold that commitment. I keep it, right? So then I just had to add once a week, this one timing commitment to myself. I make lots of other commitments as well to my family, right? Taking my kids to certain lessons at the same exact time every time. So there is a way to do this successfully, and that is making a commitment to yourself, not just to other people, right? Okay, so when we, I'm reaching an ad break here, okay? When we come back, I'm going to talk more about the timing piece and then the funding piece. You're listening to The Hard Skills with me, Dr. Mara Branku. We air live on Tuesdays at 5 p.m. Eastern and show up later on your favorite podcast app. If you are joining us during this live stream, you can find us on LinkedIn, YouTube, or Twitch at talkradio.nyc. And you could also submit questions that I can answer in real time if you have questions about the podcast right now, or simply say hi. And we'll be right back in just a moment.
Are you a conscious co-creator? Are you on a quest to raise your vibration and your consciousness? I'm Sam Liebowitz, your conscious consultant, and on my show, The Conscious Consultant Hour, Awakening Humanity, we will touch upon all these topics and more. Listen live at our new time on Thursdays at 12 noon Eastern Time. That's The Conscious Consultant Hour, Awakening Humanity, Thursdays, 12 noon on talkradio.nyc.
Are you a high-achieving, growth-oriented leader? Are you interested in developing your authentic leadership while creating a healthy, inclusive workplace? Hi, I'm Dr. Mara Branku, host of The Hard Skills on talkradio.nyc at 5 p.m. Eastern on Tuesdays, where we discuss how leaders develop the hard skills needed to make a greater impact. We interview experts, have live coaching, and tackle these challenges. Listen to The Hard Skills on Tuesday at 5 p.m. Eastern on talkradio.nyc.
You're listening to Talk Radio NYC. Uplift, educate, empower.
Welcome back to The Hard Skills. Okay, I am talking about and dishing out all of the deep, dark secrets behind the scenes, keeping it 100 for 100 episodes. And I was starting to talk about the time and money piece. It's the most common thing that I get asked. How do you find the time and funding? So the second part of timing is timing for planning, right? You have to make it as streamlined as possible. At least I did. I had to develop a system to find guests, walk them through the guest onboarding and prep process, market the episode before and after it airs, invite people to rate the episode to increase its visibility. And I needed to do that every single week, well in advance, right? And I knew I wasn't going to have time to set up planning calls with every single guest to walk them through all of this since it aired weekly. So I developed a guide to provide guests with everything that they needed, how to schedule the episode, how to understand what I'm looking for, how to prep a prep submission form. We do communicate, but asynchronously to if they have questions, although the form walks people really through it very well, and very few people have questions about it. And so I created a Google form to help me collaboratively develop the skeleton outline for the introduction. Then I use all that information from the prep form to develop the questions I'll ask them and the social media information to promote the episode. I send that social media part to my assistant who sends it off to develop, you know, new images and information about what the episode is going to be about so that we could put it on social media. And then I develop questions that I send to my guests in advance. If they have a book, I will read their book in advance. And yeah, that's some time. And so for the people who have books, I really do ask them to send me, the information at least 4 weeks in advance, whether it is a PDF copy or a hard copy of the book so that I can be ready for when their episode actually airs live with them. Okay, so that is time for planning. Now, time for communicating with the guest. I mentioned this a little bit before. I developed a template to pull all this information together to send to the guest so that they know what questions I'm planning on asking based on the responses on my form. And my assistant uses a template I created to develop the social media assets and draft announcements we use. Because of the system that I put in place, it takes me 1 to 2 hours to prepare each episode every week. So that's not a lot, especially because I have a great team behind me through Talk Radio. Jess Sarawin is behind the scenes right now as our engineer, and she is, you know, helping to, you know, pull all of this information together, get it on the podcast, get it on YouTube, you know, manage all the production behind the scenes, right? So that helps me a lot. So that goes into the fourth aspect about funding, right? From a funding perspective, it does cost some money to produce it if I'm not going to do it myself. You can do it yourself, but that's going to add a lot more hours that I personally didn't have with two jobs and two kids, you know, and a family, right? So I decided that it was, you know, worth some investment for me to buy my time back. And that meant I had to make sure I had a business that was successful enough that it could cover this expense, which is by far the largest part of my overhead. But it kind of also covers lots of other needs that I have all in one, right? Marketing, advertising, networking, professional development, product development, all in one. So it's something I'm always assessing from an ROI perspective. Podcasting doesn't have a direct one-on-one monetary benefit, right? And especially right now because I don't have sponsors. But I use it to enhance my personal brand. I use it to increase awareness and connection to new folks who don't know me yet, that top of the sales funnel stuff, and just to keep learning. And it improves my thinking around the things that I'm working on as well. So it improves me as a business owner as well in my own thought leadership. So that's a time and funding question. Now, let's get into what I've learned over time. And yes, I'm going to start with three challenges about finding the right guests. Yes. So getting guests on a weekly basis, we're going to start with that. Getting guests on a weekly basis. In the beginning, I invited many folks in my own network to join me as a guest. And once I started reaching 50 to 60 episodes, I had fewer folks in my network I could invite directly or easily, or that made sense because of what they were doing. So I had to start finding a way to get more guests. Now, the good news is that I began receiving outreach from podcast PR folks wanting to get their clients on my podcast and from business owners wanting to get on my podcast. And this significantly started increasing once I got to the top 10% of podcasts. So I hit the top 10% list probably at the 8-month mark, which partly comes from just being consistent, right? Because very few people are consistent. And once I hit that top 10%, I started opening it up to guest applications and I developed an entire guest application list. Okay. So number two, getting quality, good fit guests is the next challenge, right? So once I opened it up to people who were not known to me, so I couldn't vet them, right? And they were also being pitched by generalist PR folks. So the pitches were like sometimes on, you know, brand with mine, sometimes it felt like a little off, right? Just couldn't tell. And so I started realizing that not everyone was a great fit or qualified. So I had to develop another Google form specifically as a pre-qualifier assessment for the folks who I'm not already familiar with. They fill out the form out and are asked to also review a set of criteria that I have for the level of expertise and topic area. And as a result, I have met some interesting folks that way. And it's helped me keep learning what's a good fit and not a good fit. Like what I learned over time is people who have already written a book or do research are often a great fit because they've thought about their topic at a very deep level and able to translate really complex things into digestible, understandable concepts and frameworks. So it helps me have a much, much richer conversation. Whereas people who are speakers as their main professional identity generally actually have a much higher level thinking to share. And that higher level kind of discussion speaks to a wide audience, but it makes it really hard for me to have a meaningful, deep conversation that I personally crave. And then I also started getting more professional podcast guests, folks who were not new to the podcasting game, folks with much larger audiences. And once I hit the top 5% of podcasts, which took me about maybe at the year and a half mark, that's the level that I started getting. People who were pitching to top 5% podcasts who have been doing this a long time, were very professional. That doesn't mean they were a good fit though, right? So that meant it required me to be even more specific about what I was looking for to weed out, again, the ones that were more like professional speakers, but spoke at a much more surface or high level, as opposed to being willing to go real deep into something. So number three, the third one, okay, getting leaders willing to be coached. Getting leaders to be coached was another challenge I had to be thinking about. I really, really, really wanted to include guests who were willing to be coached on air and or just share their leadership journeys, similar to a podcast I personally listen to and love, Leah Niederthal's Smart Gets Paid podcast. Love that podcast. She does a lot of that. But unfortunately, my topic doesn't lend itself as easily to this, right? I've noticed that the topics that lend themselves easily to this are geared more towards business owners speaking to business owners. And that's not quite like, I don't speak to entrepreneurs in that way. Now, I did have a few of those episodes, but it's hard to get folks willing to have vulnerable conversations publicly, especially about hard skills, right? So that was a kind of challenge that I've decided I'm continuing to play around with, you know, who I might be able to bring on in a way that doesn't bring on that vulnerability, but still gets to help us understand leaders' personal experiences, right? Okay. Let's get into four unexpected benefits, though. They were completely unexpected. I didn't really realize this would happen. I am reaching an ad break. So when we come back from the ad break, we're going to go back. We're going to get right into four unexpected benefits of starting this radio show and podcast and what I've learned over 100 episodes, 2 years. We will be right back in just a moment with the hard skills.
Hey, everybody, it's Tommy D, the Nonprofit Sector Connector, coming at you from my attic. Each week here on talkradio.nyc, I host the program Philanthropy in Focus. Nonprofits impact us each and every day, and it's my focus to help them amplify their message and tell their story. Listen each week at 10 a.m. Eastern Standard Time until 11 a.m. Eastern Standard Time right here on talkradio.nyc.
Hi, I'm Linda Marsanico. The A Train to Sedona is a memoir about my journey to love and compassion. It's also the name of my new broadcast on Wednesdays at 12 noon. When we are spiritual, we embrace possibilities and ideas, which strengthen our mind, body, spirit, health, and wisdom. On the A Train to Sedona broadcast, I plan to interview guests who embrace these expansive practices. Join us on Wednesdays at 12 noon on Talk Radio New York City.
You're listening to Talk Radio NYC at www.talkradio.nyc. Now broadcasting 24 hours a day.
Well, Welcome back to the Hard Skills. All right, let's get into four unexpected benefits that I realized after having 100 episodes, 2 years of this radio show and podcast. Number one, books and reading. Because I like meaningful conversations, and I mentioned that folks who are a better fit for my show have written a book or do research, I am forced to read a lot more than I've ever done in the last 10 years, and read it fast. There's been multiple times when I would need to read a book on the weekend before the Tuesday that I had the show, develop a prep plan with a pool of questions based on the book, and send out the plan just days in advance of the live episode. Now, there are not a lot of podcast hosts that do this. There are way more podcast hosts that just have authors on a show or researchers and just kind of ask questions. And I think that would be okay if I was in a bind. But the level of depth that our conversations can get into if I read the book and think about the questions that I personally have that are interesting to me make the episode better. So I'm willing to put in the time. And frankly, that is a benefit to me. I get to learn a whole lot more and pretty quickly. So that's one benefit. Benefit two, the live aspect. Yes, I never imagined doing a live show. When I got into podcasting, got into podcasts themselves, right? What I liked is the very clean edited versions, right? And in fact, I had a painful experience where I was the guest on another podcast and they told me I really needed to work on my ums because of how much they had to edit out. So I told myself, I need to find a podcast producer who edits ruthlessly to make me and the whole episode sound good. So I entered the situation with this live idea with a lot of skepticism and hesitancy about whether I would like doing live episodes. And what I learned is that it was a nice way of letting go of my fears and my perfectionism. I came across the way I came across, mistakes and all, which can be more authentic. And I thankfully don't have the luxury of working on it more than 1 to 2 hours a week because I can't edit or fix much. So I let it go. And that was a completely unexpected benefit. That started with skepticism, right? Okay. Number three benefit, refining my ideas. I mentioned this, the conversations with so many guests focused in an area of interest that I have helps me keep presenting and honing my own thinking about it and including other ideas, right? And recommending others. And I'm constantly growing and iterating my ideas and therefore my other services and products and frameworks all benefit as a result. I'm not taking their ideas, obviously, but it is helping me think more deeply and refine over and over my own ideas and thinking. Because I'm learning from other people and it's expanding my perspective, right? Okay. Number four benefit, the radio broadcast community. Talk Radio NYC itself has a community of other radio broadcasters and podcasts. And we meet once a month and we get to know each other. And some of them have been on my show and I've been on their shows. And it's kind of fun to be among them. We're all very, very different. And yet we have some things in common about wanting to bring a certain level of positivity, authenticity, and good work out there into the world at a time when the attention economy on social media and podcasts and things like that are heavily focused on amplifying conflict entrepreneurs. And we are not that. We're definitely not like that. And if you're curious, you should go to talkradio.nyc online and check out the other shows. You will see wide range crossing healthcare and business, and leadership, and all kinds of other things, psychedelics, you know, like it's super interesting, spirituality, but it's all from the perspective of bringing humanity, positivity, authenticity into the world. Okay. Now, let's talk about my own mistakes and blunders and challenges. Three major ones stand out. I know that one of them that I'm going to bring up, our engineer is probably snickering in the background right now and knows exactly what I'm going to bring up. But I'm not going to share that just yet. I'm going to start with this one, cancellations. Okay. There was one time when I was traveling and there was a flight delay or cancellation, and it meant I couldn't get to the destination on time for the live show. And I know I was cutting it close by trying to travel on the same day as my show, but I had done it successfully several times before. And I was like overconfident, and this time it didn't work out. So I caused the station quite some panic, because as I scrambled to identify a backup plan, you know, they were wondering, what is she gonna do, right? And I was panicking. And I also had a few times when guests canceled on the last minute and I didn't have a backup plan. Once I wrote an entire show within a few hours of airing, because the backup plan is really to re-air old episodes, but I try to avoid doing that if I can. I know the lesson in here is to have a backup plan. The owner, Sam Leibovitz, has told me that the lesson here is to have a backup plan or two for these situations. But right now, my only backup plan is to re-air old episodes and scramble for 2 hours writing something, which I didn't do this time, by the way. So I still need to carve out some backup time, some plans to create a backup plan, right? And create some solo episodes or have emergency backup guests willing to come. I haven't done that yet. There it is. Okay. So fault number two. And my engineer is already saying one word, Vera, pre-record. I know. We should pre-record some things. Yeah. Okay. But here's what she'll really laugh about. Okay. Because our engineer, Jess Serafin, still to this day, 2 years after the first episode aired, still reminds me of this heart attack that I gave her on our first episode. I didn't realize that when she posted in the chat the links to all of the places we are airing, that if I click on one of them while we're airing, I would hear myself in stereo. And so for like 30 seconds, that first episode, I was like, hey, I think there's a technical issue. I'm hearing myself. She was like scrambling, like, what? Until we both realized it was my fault. Ah, rookie lessons. Now, here's the final one. I was late to one of my own podcast hosting episodes. There was one episode where I warned the guest and Jess. So the guest was Dr. Cedric Williams, who wrote Brick by Brick. Okay. So I warned him and our engineer that I would be cutting it close, arriving from a meeting right when the episode would be airing. Okay. So I prepared them. Okay. And just met Dr. Williams 15 minutes in advance, as usual, to prep him. Unfortunately, I ended up being 3 minutes late than our usual 5 p.m. start. And as I entered, it was quiet. And Dr. Williams was just like by himself, airing live, waiting. So embarrassing. They had already played the intro music like a million times. And I felt terribly. And thank goodness that it was Dr. Williams. Because not only are he and I colleagues, and I had already earned some trust with him, but he is unflappable, okay? Served in the military, just like even keel guy, totally unflappable, complete professional, so totally chill, took it in stride, ready to just start. Love him for that. But I'm sure I gave our engineer a complete heart attack because I promised 5 o'clock sharp and I was 3 minutes late. So, and here in the background, in our chat, she said, the worst part, it was like my third month working for the station. And that was on your show. And she was having a heart attack for that too. She's been through a lot with me. Okay, let's get into surprising successes and unexpected outcomes, okay? So I think I have three of these. Number one, success simply comes from consistency. I mentioned this. Within the first 8 months of doing this podcast consistently and sharing it online with minimal tools, the podcast quickly moved up to the top 10%. And within another 6 months, bringing in guests who were really good at bringing visibility to a wider audience helps you get into the top 5%. And of course, you need to sort of follow all the instructions on search engines like Listen Notes, right, to bring more visibility. And, you know, up until recently, it was looking like I was getting nearly 9,000 views and downloads a month. And it seems like it's going up incrementally, consistently each month. So consistency, okay? The second success and unexpected outcome is networking. So I ended up having the opportunity to increase and broaden my network with either people I didn't know or people who were kind of in my network, but it's been a while since I reconnected with them. And I really wanted to strengthen and cultivate those relationships, learn more about them, and or just reconnect. And this is important for really anybody, but you know, anyone who is especially a business owner, right? Guess I didn't necessarily know, I could learn a lot from. And the people that I did know, I could get better acquainted with them. And with a few of them, it's led to new opportunities, totally unexpected, right? Or next steps or ideas for potential collaborations, which is really exciting. The last is staying top of mind. Third unexpected outcome is that I end up staying top of mind for a lot of people. Now, I do that through multiple mechanisms, like when I write something in Psychology Today and I share it with my network or those who subscribe to my newsletter, it reminds them of the things that I'm working on. And it's also sort of like updates people, right? Like, oh, she's now interested in this area, whereas maybe she was interested in that area. And, you know, that's where I might want some help. Or whenever I post on LinkedIn, for example, it does the same. And the podcast is also another mechanism to stay top of mind. And honestly, right now, it's really easy to forget about people in your network and to go about your business and have your attention constantly be divided and stretched by so many things, you know, that doing something really consistently that shares what I'm working on, it reminds people, oh yeah, Mira's out there doing that thing. And you just never know when the right moment strikes, when I've been working on and sharing something on the podcast at the right time when somebody else is looking for that very thing. And it's happened several times for me. Number four, I forgot to mention, there's one more positive. Relationship with future clients. Perhaps the coolest, craziest thing that I have noticed is that for folks who have been thinking about working with me for a while, maybe I was on their radar, or maybe they weren't ready, or maybe it's just not great timing. And I just stayed consistently showing up top of mind, right? Or folks who were introduced to my podcast, but somebody else in my network kind of were following me and shared it with them. In a way, they've been developing a relationship with me because they've gotten a chance to get to know me and my personality and how I think way before I ever meet them. So it's not uncommon that when somebody new who has not been in my current network comes to me saying they want to work with me, they might start off with a comment like, hey, I've been listening to your podcast and I really like what you had to say about truth telling and diplomacy, for example. I had that comment recently. Or we get to talking and then they reference some episodes that they heard me sharing, where they heard like me talking about my career journey or challenges that resonated and stories about my family or interests that I've shared on my podcast. And I think, how do they know that? And it's probably because of this podcast, which I think is so fun and interesting and wild that people might have a relationship with me before they meet me and before I have a relationship with them. And they're already comfortable with me. And I've already established trust with them simply from them kind of like just being a fly on the wall of how I think and what I say and how I do and act over time and how I interact with people. And that's been like super interesting and super cool. So with all of that said, we are reaching an ad break. Perfect time, because when we come back, I am going to share my last one insight. What has been the hardest out of all of the things that I have experienced with the podcast? What's been the hardest? So you will get to hear that when we come back. You're listening to The Hard Skills with me, Dr. Mira Branco. We'll be right back in just a moment.
Were you an essential worker during the pandemic? If you needed to learn stages of epilepsy, did you depend on advocates? Did you use new innovations to cope with mental and neurological issues? Maintaining high quality of life and keeping good mental health are what we all strive for. I'm Frank R. Harrison, host of Frank About Health, and each week, top healthcare influencers, professionals, and innovators answer these questions and more. Stay tuned on Thursdays at 5 p.m. on talkradio.nyc, and I will continue to be Frank About Health with all of you.
Ready to serve up success with a splash? Hi, I'm Bruce Kramer, a.k.a. the Corporate Cockroach.
I'm the Renaissance Woman, Angie Snowball.
And I'm your strategy doctor, Dr. Navtej Dasanjh, inviting you to serving up success with a splash.
Join us as we shake things up with real talk and real strategies centered around awareness, action, and accountability.
And yes, there really is a cocktail involved. Please join us and sip your way to success.
Serving up success with a splash, where wisdom meets happy hours. Cheers!
You're listening to Talk Radio NYC at www.talkradio.nyc. Now broadcasting 24 hours a day.
Welcome back to The Hard Skills. My engineer, Jess Saravin, is back there just reminiscing with me on chat about all the nightmares I've given her. so funny. All the things we've been through in just two short, wonderful years together. So the last thing that I wanted to share with you all is, out of all these things, what's been the hardest, right? And I suspect maybe you can guess, the hardest has been to show up consistently every single week, right? There are times when I just don't feel like it. You know, when you do the same thing at the same exact time every single week for multiple years, you know, you sometimes want a break, right? Like when I work out, there are days where I take breaks. There are weeks when I take breaks. Like right now, I'm actually on vacation. Yes, the reason that maybe my sound might sound a little bit different, or I might look a little bit different, or my lighting might be a little bit different, is because I'm vacation right now. And yeah, I could have pre-recorded this. Yes, yes, yes. I hear Jess in my ear. I could have pre-recorded this. I just didn't want to. And the thing is that I do take breaks, right, from other routine things. Like my kids only need rides to certain activities during certain parts of the year, during seasons. And this is not your typical podcast. It doesn't have the same kind of like seasons where you take longer breaks in between, because it's like a radio station. And a radio station is always available with a few exceptions, right? So that's been by far the hardest. Remaining consistent really at anything is hard. And it's especially hard for somebody like me who also really enjoys variety. And at the same time, I thrive on structure as much as I love variety. And so having something set up for me where I'm not constantly like struggling with coming up with, you know, something different each time. Should I do it? Should I not? Right. All of that does help me show up easily and get it done. I have lots of systems to just show up and, you know, not having to think about it, but just literally show up does help me stay consistent. But it's very difficult to do this consistently because not every week is an easy week for me, right? And I would say the last 6 to 8 months have been very challenging working for the federal government, right? And having two jobs and having one job that has sort of started increasing in its demands and success, right? So prior to that, I used to be able to prep for multiple shows at once, have it all ready. But in the last 6 to 8 months, I've been prepping up until the last minute, 1 week in advance, which, you know, 1 week in advance is last minute for me, 2 weeks if I'm really lucky. So this, of course, makes it hard for my assistant, Maria, who as well, because she's the one who has to turn my prep materials into the announcements that go out the day before the podcast episodes. And, you know, for folks also who are coming on the show, relying on me to get things done on time, like my guests, the station engineer, you know, my assistant, all of those folks, I'm sure would appreciate me sending things out to them, not at the last minute, but way, way ahead of time. So all of that requires a lot of prep, which I try to do for other people, but I don't always have the luxury to do it in at like, at the pace that I want, which is way more in advance, right? So, you know, I have been thinking about reducing my frequency, and that's possible that might come up in September, just to get a little bit more sort of catching up and breathing room and being able to catch up with, you know, all of the episodes and feel like it's not every single week. I'm going to maybe see how that works, hopefully. So that is also kind of, you know, something to look for coming up, that you'll have to relish some of these episodes a little bit longer, you know, because of that. So with all of that today, what did you take away from this? If you're thinking about a podcast, what did you take away from this? Are you leaning more towards it, more against? If you are very interested in talk radio, of course, reach out. I'd be happy to talk more about it or introduce you to Sam Leibowitz and the team. Has it sort of helped you think about consistency and the impact of consistency, or the impact of developing your network, right? And what it takes. I'm really curious about that. So reach out. If you want to keep learning and growing with me outside of just this podcast time and, you know, engage with me, I am a leadership consultant and coach and an associate professor and Psychology Today columnist and author of Millennial's Guide to Workplace Politics. And I had my own leadership career before transitioning to helping teams and high achieving women navigate their leadership complexities. So I bring all of that experience and expertise to everything that I do. And I love to work with organizational misfits and socially conscious, growth-oriented, high-achieving women leaders in disrupted industries. I love to work with any leaders interested in finding their leadership path and making a greater impact. I love helping leaders and teams avoid being blindsided by missteps or managing highly complex, stressful workplace politics or problematic team dynamics and gain more clarity and agency to become more effective leaders. If any of that resonates, reach out. You can check me out at www.gotowerscope.com. And of course, the best way to keep track of all these opportunities to track what I'm doing, what I'm working on, what offers, and especially like special offers, subscribe to the newsletter, because there's a lot of special offers. I only offer newsletter subscribers. And usually those are early access and preferred rates before I open it up publicly. You know, the major thing that I've noticed coming up in the last 6 months is about leaders coming to me who are trying to do two things at the same time and asking my help with a dual approach. Approach number one, help them navigate a situation that is very concerning, stressful, untenable, and has them wondering whether they should continue within that system. and navigating the politics and navigating how they just feel about what they want to do in the system, whether they continue or not. And the second part of the approach is helping them set themselves up for their next transition. It might not come soon. It might be like what I did, you know, a 7 to 10 year plan moving into a company, or it could be something else. I do a lot of career transition planning well in advance while people are navigating a current system that they're not sure they'll be able to continue for the long haul, or they're going to want to transition in 5 to 10 years and want to set themselves up for success. So if you're interested in that, I also do those kinds of things. So getting back to the show, we are a live show where you can find us in lots of places. You can find us on Apple, Spotify, Amazon, Twitter, Twitch, LinkedIn, all over the place. I would love for you to subscribe to the podcast, leave a review, and share it with others to help increase our visibility, reach, and impact. This is the way that I feel like I can give back to the world through a ripple effect in greater and greater reach. And I would love your help doing that. And I would like to thank talkradio.nyc for hosting, giving me a chance, giving me lots and lots and lots of support and leeway as I've gotten to the 100th episode. Together, all of us will navigate the complexities of leadership and emerge stronger on the other side. This is Dr. Mira Branco signing off. Until next time, stay steady, stay present, and keep building those hard skills muscles. Bye, everyone.
Were you an essential worker during the pandemic? If you needed to learn stages of epilepsy, did you depend on advocates? Did you use new innovations to cope with mental and neurological issues? Maintaining high quality of life and keeping good mental health are what we all strive for. I'm Frank R. Harrison, host of Frank About Health, and each week, top healthcare influencers, professionals, and innovators answer these questions and more. Stay tuned on Thursdays at 5 p.m. on talkradio.nyc, and I will continue to be Frank About Health with all of you.
Hi, I'm Linda Marsanico. The A Train to Sedona is a memoir about my journey to love and compassion. It's also the name of my new broadcast on Wednesdays at 12 noon. When we are spiritual, we embrace possibilities and ideas, which strengthen our mind, body, spirit, health, and wisdom. On the A Train to Sedona broadcast, I plan to interview guests who embrace these expansive practices. Join us on Wednesdays at 12 noon on Talk Radio New York City.
Hey everybody, it's Tommy D, the Nonprofit Sector Connector, coming at you from my attic. Each week here on talkradio.nyc, I host the program Philanthropy in Focus. Nonprofits impact us each and every day, and it's my focus to help them amplify their message and tell their story. Listen each week at 10 a.m. Eastern Standard Time until 11 a.m. Eastern Standard Time, right here on talkradio.nyc.
Are you a conscious co-creator? Are you on a quest to raise your vibration and your consciousness? I'm Sam Liebowitz, your conscious consultant. And on my show, The Conscious Consultant Hour, Awakening Humanity, we will touch upon all these topics and more. Listen live at our new time on Thursdays at 12 noon Eastern Time. That's The Conscious Consultant Hour, Awakening Humanity, Thursdays, 12 noon on talkradio.nyc.
Are you a high-achieving, growth-oriented leader? Are you interested in developing your authentic leadership while creating a healthy, inclusive workplace? Hi, I'm Dr. Mira Branco, host of The Hard Skills on talkradio.nyc at 5 p.m. Eastern on Tuesdays, where we discuss how leaders develop the hard skills needed to make a greater impact. We interview experts, have live coaching, and tackle these challenges.
Listen to The Hard Skills on Tuesday at 5 p.m. Eastern on talkradio.nyc.
You're listening to Talk Radio NYC. Uplift, educate, empower.